Blog Talk Radio.
Prophecy at the Midnight Hour, broadcasting out of Rockville, Maryland, a suburb of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., the capital of the United States of America. This evening's segment, we're going to walk through and announce the wilderness of repentance, a lifestyle now. The wilderness of repentance is where America needs to be, and to hear the call from the Lord for national repentance. Tremendous judgment has been prophesied against the United States of America by the Lord's bondservant. If America does not repent from her ultra-wicked sins against the Lord, and she needs to gather as one man before him in national repentance. Now, the United States has heard the call to national repentance before, and we have seen those calls go unheeded. And there have been many calls to national repentance, yet the church in the United States of America doesn't really understand what repentance is, nor does the church in the United States know how to repent. And so we will take a look at what the Lord says about repentance and how the Lord defines repentance, his standards. And he gives us many good examples as well in the scriptures, in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. For many will say in America, well, we thought we had repented. And please take note that repentance is now, the wilderness of repentance now, the requirement is a lifestyle. And the lifestyle of repentance is where we walk as the church in the United States in humility before the Lord, as the Lord begins to expose more and more the sins that the United States has piled high, very high, into heaven at an alarming rate. And really, we've reached such a point right now, and I think most would concur, it doesn't really take a prophet of the Lord to announce judgment against America for her sins. We see this in the business world, coast to coast and border to border, with corruption and fraud, as though we were a fraudtocracy instead of a democracy anymore. And we have seen fraud economics, and we have seen fraud judgments, and we have seen corruption all throughout the land. But it's important to note that the church in the United States has failed miserably. And that fraud that we see now on a nightly basis, daily basis, basis, hourly basis, has its roots well sunk into the church, into those that call themselves by the name of the Lord. And the scripture tells us clearly the judgment begins at the house of the Lord, and surely repentance and national repentance also begins at the house of the Lord in the United States of America. For the church today is not prepared for the coming of the Messiah in the United States. She is still wallowing deeply and mired in sin. So we'll take a look at a couple of foundational scriptures. And we'll start first in the New Testament in Mark chapter 1, verse 15. This is Mark chapter 1, verse 15. This is from our Lord and Savior. This is the boss himself. Jesus says, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." And again, this is Mark chapter 1, verse 15. "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Now, most in the United States have heard the call to repentance. They have heard the word before. They're not quite understanding exactly what it means. So we'll go through a basic how-to that's well described in the Bible and detailed throughout in both New Testament and Old Testament. And we started with Mark chapter 1, verse 15, to set the authority straight, for it comes straight from our Lord and Savior. We see the call to repentance also in Revelation chapter 2 and in chapter 3, five of the seven churches were called to repent, lest they perish and be removed. It's a very weighty matter, a very serious matter. It is no joking matter when the Lord calls a nation to national repentance. We saw in the days of Jonah, the Assyrians, which weren't even a godly nation, feared the Lord at the word of the Lord when Jonah prophesied judgment in 40 days or repent. And Assyria, Nineveh repented. So today, the Lord is calling the United States to national repentance, and we are seeing a global repentance revival where they are repenting in Sweden, they are repenting in the Netherlands, they are repenting in Kenya, they are repenting in other nations in Africa. There are churches in Australia that are repenting and preparing for the coming of the Messiah. We see this also in South Korea. In Chile, the country and the government repented. Angola had a national repentance government again, and the church was repenting. And the United States appears to be left out in the cold. She doesn't even understand what it is to repent and what do we mean by that. This is not the same repentance that you hear from many ministers that are false ministers. I should know, they are false ministers that are marketing political agendas. No, this is about repenting and preparing for the coming of the Messiah. This is about the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of men. And so the repentance has been confused in the States, and then oftentimes we'll see people point at government institutions, bureaucracies. And the fact of the matter is, it's our own heart condition in the Church of Jesus Christ, of the United States of America, needs to start there and then permeate out into government, permeate out into the outer court, permeate out into all the lives of those whom the church is in contact with, which is the entire society. So let's take a look at Acts chapter 2 And we'll see another example, and this is the Apostle Peter, Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. A mighty scripture and a mighty prophecy from the Apostle Peter. Well, it's Acts chapter 2, verses 37, 36 through 38. Matthew chapter 3, and again, this is the New Testament. John the Baptist in chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. That's Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Those are three scriptures in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 38, and then from Jesus Christ himself in Mark chapter 1. The examples to answer the question, what is repentance, is best found in Daniel, Jeremiah, and Nehemiah. But let's start first, and we will read Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 4 through 7, just a few verses. And here the Lord will explain to the church what repentance means, and so that when we hear the Lord call the nation to national repentance, we have an idea exactly what it is that the Lord is saying today. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 4. Say to them, this is what the Lord says. When people fall down, do they not get up? When someone turns away, do they not return? Why then have these people turned away? Why does Jerusalem always turn away? They cling to deceit, and they refuse to listen. Verse 6. I have listened attentively, but they do not say what is right. None of them repent of their wickedness, saying, What have I done? Each pursues their own course, like a horse charging into battle. Even the stork in the sky knows her appointed seasons, and the dove, the swift, and the thrush observe the time of their migration. But my people do not know the requirements of the Lord. That's Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 4 through 7. So the Lord understood very well that the people of Israel had forgotten the requirements of the Lord, just as the church in the United States of America has forgotten the requirements of the Lord. None are repenting of their wickedness, saying, "What have I done?" You can see this clearly. One glance at either radio or television will cause one to blush from head to toe for the embarrassment of the preaching of money, the embarrassment of all false apostles, the embarrassment of the false prophets. And we've reached such a point in the States where even the heathens and the pagans, they're well aware there's no power of the Lord in the house of the Lord, and they can clearly see that there's no holiness whatsoever. For the church is mired in sin, like the sow that has been cleaned, she has gone back into the pig pen. And as the scripture says, as sure as a dog returns to its vomit, so has the church gone back and returned to her sin. The power of the Lord and the mighty Holy Spirit is gone from the church, for the ministers are ministering at the altar of Baal. They're ministering for money, for prestige. They fear flesh. They do not fear the Lord. And there's no fear of the Lord in the house of the Lord. And no one asks, "What have we done?" And the Lord is clear that when people fall down, that is, though the righteous fall seven times, they will arise again. Why do they not get up? And when the people turn away, why do they not return? And it would be quite simple to replace the United States with Jerusalem in verse 5. Why then have these people turned away? Why does the United States always turn away? They cling to deceit. They refuse to discern. They refuse to return. Today, deceit is the currency in the church, and deception has run wild. Deceit is now the currency of business. Deceit is now the currency throughout the society at a time that it is so dark and the world is looking for a bright light. If she would have looked to the church in the United States, sure enough, they would find that deceit rules and reigns in the house of the Lord. How else can one explain all of the manipulation and the witchcraft and the begging and pleading for money, as though money were the god of the house of the Lord? Money is the god of the ministers of the Lord. We measure success based on financial prosperity. If one were to be honest, we even measure success based on how many people are in the building. Not the holiness of the Lord, not the righteousness of the Lord, but no, the amount of people that are actually participating in the church. And instinctively, based on the flesh, people will say, "Oh, well, that might be a good place to go to." And ordinarily, we see, again, those churches that are feeding the masses and feeding them the gospel of the flesh, the horizontal gospel that's connected to the earth and not connected to the kingdom of God. The Lord says in Ezekiel 18:30, "I will judge you, each one according to his ways, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent, turn away from all your offenses. Then sin will not be your downfall. I will judge you, each one according to his ways, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent, turn away from all your offenses. then sin will not be your downfall. So in a sentence, in an oversimplification in some respects, but it's right here in the scripture, right in the word of the Lord, in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 30, and in fact the entire chapter of Ezekiel 18 is an excellent foundation on repentance. The Lord changes not. And we will see the same consistency in the New Testament as well. It is a turning away from sin, so that sin is no longer our downfall. So in other words, one is repenting. It's similar to driving down a road where the bridge is taken out, and we say, oh, look, that bridge is gone. We need to turn around and go the other direction. That would be turning around. That would be repenting. But today, the church views repenting as such. Driving down the road, the bridge is out. She kind of thinks about turning around. She listened to the instructions about turning around, but continues to drive on and crash and burn. Another one that's very common as well, another scenario that we see, the church is going down the road. Oh, we repent. We're walking the highway of holiness now. We see that the bridge is out. We turn around. And then a few minutes later, they head right back down the same road, turn around again, and then drive off where there is no bridge and crash and burn. Or as Dr. Awar says, they recycle back to sin. That's not showing the fruit of repentance, and we'll cover that in the next segment as we walk with John the Baptist in the wilderness of repentance, and also Isaiah on the highway of holiness, Isaiah chapter 35 as well. That when we repent, we don't recycle back to sin. Sin becomes loathsome and abominable to us. A good example here of deliverance, which is repentance as well, think of the alcoholic and the drug addict who has been delivered and redeemed. They no longer struggle with the thought of returning back. They really don't want to sin that way anymore. And that's why when you see they're delivered, they will spend their life helping others become delivered as well. And so they have repented and shown the fruit of repentance. That is, we stop the sin and do not return back to it. In the United States, we have the sin of greed and the love of money and gluttony and corruption and lying and stealing and cheating. And this is all in the house of the Lord, as well as sexual sin, pornography, masturbation, vulgar entertainment, and the list goes on and on. And to repent is to not return to the iniquity, is to not to return and go back to the sin. And in the wilderness of repentance, as we humble before the Lord, and we'll see this in Daniel chapter 9 as well as Nehemiah, we humble before the Lord, and he will begin to reveal even more. The mighty Holy Spirit will reveal more sin. We covered this fairly extensively, and it's online at highwayofholiness.us. And it's online here at the radio also. And this was on holy fasting. And one of the primary benefits of holy fasting is it gives the Lord an opportunity for our flesh to go away so that we can hear what the Lord is saying to us. And so we have the opportunity to repent of sins that we may not have even recognized, because the church has become so carnal as the Lord states very clearly in Jeremiah chapter 8, she has forgotten the requirements of the Lord. She has forgotten that the house of the Lord is holy. We don't even see sexual sin in the land anymore, although there are those that are affronted and those that are insulted by the styles, but the holiness of the Lord is no longer revered in the house of the Lord, and we see that reflected in the society as well. Daniel chapter 9, verses 3-8 is an ideal how to approach the Lord in repentance, how to humble ourselves before the Lord and repent, both in the church and in the United States of America, to begin the process to show fruits of repentance. So those that are stealing will not only no longer steal, but they'll actually return what they stole. If you're a banker stealing houses, you'll return the houses. If you're in sexual sin, it will break off the relationships, as an example. Or if you're watching sexual sin, those items get tossed out. And even better yet, the entire multimedia TV gets tossed out with it. So whatever the sin is, we make right by turning away from it. And if we've stolen, as we saw also in the New Testament, we restore back that which is stolen. And those are just a few examples of the fruit of repentance. But very quickly, and we'll cover this again in the follow-up segment, but this is Daniel chapter 9, verses 3-8, and Daniel begins. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. Daniel 9, chapter 9, verse 3, just one sentence. So I turned to the Lord God. And there you see the turning, the focus away from self, the focus away from flesh, the focus is away from the Lord, and a turning to the Lord. And see the position and the humility of Daniel, and pleaded with the Lord in prayer and petition. So Daniel begins with prayer, thanksgiving, and petition. And we notice these aren't demands. This isn't I claim. This isn't I demand. Now, this is a position of humility before a holy, mighty God, where Daniel is praying in thankfulness and pleading and petitioning with the Lord. Daniel's doing this while fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. We covered the fasting a few segments back, and also the sackcloth and ashes. And I do recommend sackcloth, I do. In the United States of America, you don't need to go out and wear it out as the newest fashion and style, although that would be very revolutionary here in the States. And we'll cover more in our next segment. We're just about out of time for this segment. And so as the Lord leads, and we'll develop Daniel chapter 9, verse 3, on how to repent, and then we'll cover some more on the fruit of repentance. For the Lord is calling the United States of America to national repentance. It's no longer a joke. It's not a laughing matter. This is very, very serious call from the Lord to the Church of the United States, as well as the entire United States, border to border and coast to coast. And until the next segment, and as the Lord leads, shalom, shalom.